Here they are again, Harry and Thelma Duff, Gerald and Phyllis Loder, next door friends and neighbors.
What's the Old Mutual doing in telecommunications, in shipbuilding, in breakfast food?
They're just some of the many industries in which the Old Mutual invests its policy owners' funds to earn profits for them.
When it comes to putting profit into your future through skilled investment, there's nothing like a financial plan from the Old Mutual.
Lexington, for honest to goodness tobacco flavor.
For an honest to goodness American blend that's alive with toast and flavor, friend, you can't smoke better than number one. So, man, relax with a Lexington. Lexington, that's the one.
Lexington, alive with flavor that's rich and real and robust. For after-action satisfaction, Lexington. That's the one.
The funniest thing happened on the way to the theater. The funny thing happened on the way to the...
Yes, Phyllis, yes. What's your problem?
I was wondering if you had one, Gerald.
Whatever gave you that idea, Phyllis?
Oh, well, you're making some awfully strange noises. Are you sickening for something?
No, Phyllis, no. This is merely part one of my correspondence course.
Oh, on what? How to sound ill?
Of course not, Phyllis, no. It's on ventriloquism.
Oh.
I'm learning how to throw my voice.
Whatever for, Gerald?
Well, a party trick, mainly. It'll be something else to add to my splendid repertoire of stories, anecdotes and the like. I'll be able to keep people amused for hours.
Oh, you do already, dear.
And who knows? I might turn out to be so good at it that I'll have to take it up full time, become a cabaret artiste or something.
Oh, that'll be nice, Gerald. Can I come and watch you?
Well, when the time comes, Phyllis, let's not get too carried away to start with. First lesson's proving to be a bit harder than I expected.
Oh, what do you have to do?
Well, it says here that the main technique in ventriloquism is to get the voice to come from the stomach.
From the stomach, Gerald? How could you do that?
Yeah, that's what I've been trying to work out, Phyllis. It's very tricky. On the way to the theater. You see, no matter what I do, my voice always comes out of my mouth.
Well, I think that's perfectly natural, Gerald. If our voices had been meant to come out of our stomachs, they would have done.
Did it look a bit silly, though?
What would?
Well, having a mouth down there. And then all our clothes would have to be made differently with a little hole to speak out of.
Oh, Gerald!
Eating would be a lot easier, though. We'd just be able to shovel it straight in from the table.
Oh, Gerald, you're funny.
Oh, it'd be a bit funny brushing your teeth, though. Can you imagine how a visit to the dentist would turn out? No, actually, in some cases, it might not be such a bad idea if we had been made like that. Our food would be a lot fresher when it got to our stomachs.
Oh, but Gerald, if your mouth was down there, what would you have below your nose?
Yes, that's the point. A big, wide open space, I suppose. Still, it would make shaving a lot easier.
Yes, you wouldn't have to pull so many faces in the morning.
But imagine having to put your hand over your stomach when you yawn.
What's going on here, then?
Oh, nothing at all.
Right.
And just what do you think you're doing, Harry? Coming bulging in here like an out-of-work policeman? Hello, hello, hello. What's going on here, then?
Well, we heard strange noises coming from here. What's going on?
No, I don't think I'm going to tell you.
Oh, why not, Gerald?
Well, because they'll only laugh.
No. Oh, no, we wouldn't dream of it.
Yes, you will.
No, of course we wouldn't.
Do you promise?
Of course we promise.
Well, You tell them, Phyllis.
Gerald is studying ventriloquism so he can become a cabaret artiste.
There you are. What did I tell you, Phyllis? Trust Filmer to heap scorn upon the idea of me bettering myself.
Eh? Bettering yourself?
And why not?
Well, I suppose you're right there. You couldn't make yourself any worse. What's the matter, Harry? You aren't laughing.
Yeah, he probably doesn't find it as humorous as you do, Filmer.
No, it's just I don't know what whatever it is.
Oh, blimey, Harry. Ventriloquism is... Oh, well, it's... You explain it to them, Gerald.
Well, ventriloquism is the art of throwing one's voice, Harry.
Oh, well, that's not a bad idea. How far are you going to throw yours?
No, not throw it away, Harry. Just throw it so that you can make it sound like your voice is coming from different places.
And how does that help?
Well, it's all part of an act. You can make people think that the person next to you is talking when he really isn't. Do you see now?
Yeah, still don't see what good it does, though.
It's very funny, Harry. It makes people laugh.
Who? The ones that are supposed to be doing the talking but aren't?
Oh, no, Harry, the audience.
Oh. Well, go on, then. I feel like a good giggle.
If a funny thing happens in the world of theater.
Yeah, very good, very good. But do you mean people actually get paid for doing that in clubs?
Well, not quite that, Harry. I don't think Gerald's got it right yet.
Well, exactly, Thelma. Yes, it's going to take a bit of time yet, but when I've got it right, it's going to be good, really good. And the hypnotism, too.
Oh, I didn't know you were studying that, Gerald.
Oh, yes, Phyllis. With this correspondence school, you get two courses for the price of one. And in my case, it was either hypnotism or how to play the tuba.
Good. For once in his life, he's made the right decision.
And seeing as you're all so happy about it, Harry, I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
What's that?
As soon as I'm proficient in both, I'll put on a cabaret show for you and the neighbours. That'll give you something to look forward to.
I'm so ill.
Yes? What's the matter?
Well, it's just a sort of, it's an all-over ache. And I get short, sharp, stabbing pains, catching me unawares in the most awkward places. That's another one of them.
Have you had these symptoms before?
Oh, no, Velvet. There goes another one.
Well, I'm warning you, Harry, if you're putting it on, you're in trouble.
And if I'm not, I'm in worse trouble. No. Well, I'm being quite serious.
All right, then. You sit down. I'll go and find the doctor.
Doctor, no, Phil. No, you don't have to worry him.
Well, why not? If you're that sick, you need a doctor.
Yeah, he's probably busy, Phil. Out somewhere. Anyway, he doesn't want to go out on a night call, does he? And he charges too much.
Any more excuses, Harry?
Hang on, I'm trying to think. I don't think so, Phil. I'll just toddle off to bed and see if it isn't better in the morning.
All right, then. Is there anything I can bring you?
No, thanks. All my racing form books are upstairs already. You'd better give Gerald and Phyllis a ring, though. Tell them we won't be round tonight.
Ah, so that's what it is. You come right back here, Harry Duff. I knew you were trying to wriggle out of something.
But I'm sick, though. Sick. See?
I see, all right. You're going to see it, too. I promised Phyllis that we go and watch Gerald's show tonight, and I'm not going back on my word.
Oh, you go, Phil. I'll just go to bed and battle it out with the aches and pains.
Yeah, well, if you don't go, you're going to have to battle it out with me.
Oh, what time do we have to be there?
You deserve to be, Phyllis. After all, I've worked hard enough for it.
Oh, Gerald, do you think you're ready for it tonight?
Well, maybe not quite, but with the sort of peasants who'll be coming tonight, it won't make any difference, really. They won't be aware that some of the finer points of the act might need a bit of brushing up.
Oh, no, Gerald, I'm sure they won't.
Oh, there is one thing that's worrying me, though, Phyllis.
What's that, dear?
Well, do you think I should put out the act for the silver collection now, or as they go out?
I think later, Gerald, so they can give what they think the show was worth.
Oh, there's Harry and Thelma. I'd better disappear.
All right, dear. Good luck.
Oh, thank you, Phyllis. Don't you worry, though. They'll love it. Absolutely love.
Oh,
hello,
hello, Phyllis.
Oh, come in. You're the first to arrive.
Oh. How many others are coming?
Well, we've invited just about all of Blossom Avenue.
Oh, you had a look down it tonight, then?
No, Harry, why?
There's hardly a light on in the street. Even those who never go out are picked tonight to do it.
Oh, I wonder why.
Well, I can tell you if you want to.
Don't you dare, Harry. Here, I mean just about all of Blossom Avenue, Phil. Who didn't you invite?
Well, everyone except that chap down the end who does the impressions. Gerald thought he might spoil the show.
He might take over, you mean?
Yeah, that's right. I remember him. He normally comes round to borrow something and ends up staying off the night.
That's him. And as I said, he's the only one we didn't invite. Mm. Oh, here's someone else. Make yourself comfortable, will you?
Oh, hello, hello.
Oh, what are you doing here?
Well, two things, actually. First, I came to see if I could borrow a cup of sugar.
Well, I think we can do that for you.
Oh, goody, goody. Then, secondly, one of our neighbours told me that you were having a show of some kind tonight and that everyone in Blossom Avenue had been invited. And so I naturally thought that you must have forgotten to ask me, you see.
Well?
Well, come on now, you don't have to be embarrassed. You did forget to invite me, didn't you? Go on, it's all right.
Oh, yes, I must admit we did forget.
Oh, good, I'll come in then. Ooh, who else have you got here then? Oh, hello.
Hello.
You here too then, are you?
Much against me better judgment, yes.
Oh, then it's going to be a jolly evening with us all together, isn't it?
Yummy, is it?
Well, of course you remember me, don't you?
How could we forget? You're the chap that does impressions.
Oh, fancy you remembering. I've got some new ones since you last heard me. Shall I do them for you?
No, all right.
I'll do them later. During the show. Yeah, where's your husband, by the way? Garth, or whatever his name is.
Gerald.
Oh, yes, that's right.
He's backstage. He doesn't believe that an artist should be seen by his audience before the show starts.
Oh, blimey, get in.
But what time is the show going to start?
Oh, just as soon as the rest of the people get here. Mm. Oh, I'm sure they won't be long.
Yeah, they'd better not be. I'm not staying here all night.
Oh, meanwhile, why don't you make yourself comfortable in the lounge?
Oh, Phyllis, how can we? You've taken all the chairs out.
Oh, it's just so we could fit everyone in. Well, don't worry, Selma. You'll get used to sitting on the floor after a while.
Oh, yeah, thanks very much. Once you go numb, you don't worry about it so much, is that it?
Well, something like that, yes. And while we're waiting, I can offer you tea or coffee, scones or biscuits.
I mean, normally we're lucky to get a glass of water.
Yeah. Why the sudden catering arrangements, Phyllis?
Oh, well, this is a professional show, so I thought we'd better have decent refreshments to go with it.
Oh, well, I'll have a cup of coffee then.
Oh, and what about you, Selma? What will you have, tea or coffee? It's only 15 pence each.
What makes a Bloody Mary special? The iced tomato juice, that dash of Worcester sauce? The secret is in your choice of vodka. And if pure, clean Smirnoff is your brand, your Bloody Marys will always be special.
Because Smirnoff vodka lets you be yourself.
Every General R280 radio has 364 little safety studs between its treads. The studs are there to brace and stabilize the treads and help stop them fidget under stress. And the fact that we've reduced the fidget in our treads, explains why the General R280 brakes so well, corners so well, and has the longest possible life. General R280 radios, the long-living tires.
Well, if nothing happens shortly, I'm going home.
Well, I'm trying my best, Harry, but they don't seem to take much notice of slow hand clapping in this establishment.
Yeah, how about the quick impression while we're waiting?
No, no, no. Thank you very much. You know, what's happened to Phyllis, anyway?
Now, she's gone backstage. To tell Gerald that everyone who should have been here an hour ago hasn't pitched up.
Mm. Are you sure I can't entertain you in the meanwhile?
No,
it's
no,
all right. Very nice of you. Thank you very much.
Why don't you have another cup of coffee, Harry?
Well, I've had three already, and it's even worse than the muck she normally dishes up.
Mm. You know, I've got a very good one of the triple-throated wood warbler. All right, then.
Ladies and gentlemen, could I have your attention, please?
No, not if it's going to cost us anything, you don't.
The management regrets that might have been caused by the delay in staging tonight's show. This has been caused, unavoidably, I might add, by the forgetfulness of certain invited members of the public to inform the management that they would be unable to attend tonight's gala opening performance. And because of this, our numbers have been greatly reduced.
And so you've had to cancel the performance. Good. Good night.
Come back here, Harry Duff.
However, I'm sure you're all aware of one of the greatest sayings of all time relating to show business. The show must go on.
Pity.
And I'm happy to say that the show is going to go on. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here he comes, direct from a command performance in the bedroom. Your friend and mine, let's give him a great big hand, the one and only Jerry Lee Loder.
Good evening, good evening. Thank you, fans. Thank you. Yes, all right, Phyllis, you can stop now. Thank you for that wonderful standing ovation. I am now going to present a performance which will astound you. At the end of it, you will say, how does he ever do it?
And right now, we're saying, when will he ever do it? Come on, get on with it, Jerry.
All right, now. Just watch this. Well, what about that?
Well, what about it?
Well, didn't it sound like it came from Thelma?
No.
Well, I thought so, dear.
Oh, thank you, Phyllis. At least you can appreciate the subtleties of my act.
Ah, but Gerald, I thought you were supposed to do ventriloquism with a dummy.
Well, the next bit is going to be. Now, could I have the dummy, please?
Oh, come in, Gerald.
Now, I want you to watch closely. Sit on my lap, Phyllis.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Now.
Hello, my name is Phyllis. And I'm the wife of that famous ventriloquist, Gerald Loder.
How about that? Did you see Phyllis's mouth move?
No, but it's your mouth that isn't supposed to move, not Phyllis's.
Is it? Oh. Well, I'd better try again then. Mm. Now, how's this?
Hello, my name is Gerald
Loder. Was that better, right?
I can take over and do a few impersonations if you like.
Oh, blimey, I don't know which would be worse. Listen, Gerald, you're not supposed to have your hand in front of your mouth.
Well, now, I think you're going out of your way to find something wrong with my act.
Not at all, Gerald. I'm just trying to help you to get it right before you put it in front of a real audience. Now then, take your hand away and say it again without us seeing your mouth moving.
Hello,
Mom. Oh, Gerald. Oh, blimey, I didn't mean turn round.
No, why don't you go on to the next bit of your act, dear? They don't seem to be appreciating these.
Good idea, Phyllis. My next trick, ladies and gentlemen, is to try mass hypnotism on the audience. I am now going to put you all to sleep.
Don't tempt me, mate. Don't tempt me.
Oh, goody, goody. I've never been hypnotisted before.
Now, first, I must stress that only people who want to be hypnotized can be.
Is this the last part of your act?
Yes, why?
Then we're all dying to be hypnotized. Come on, get on with it.
Right. Now, first of all, are you all comfortable?
Yeah, except for the part of me that's gone asleep.
Well, now, here we go, then. Now, just concentrate on my voice. You want to fall asleep just listening to my voice. It is a very drowsy voice, and will begin to make you fall asleep. It will be a very deep sleep, and you will awaken from a feeling very rich. As from this moment you begin to feel your eyes closing, you cannot help it, your eyes just want to close. You are beginning to fall into a deep. Your eyes are growing heavier and are beginning to close. You cannot help it, but you want it to happen. Close your eyes. That's it, your eyes are closed now, and you feel yourself drifting slowly off and away. A deep sleep. You are now asleep. Oh, now, let's see how it works. Oh, who's it with? Oh, Phyllis, and Thelma, and Harry, and Percy. Good heavens, it works! Ooh. But I wonder if they're really asleep. Mm, it'll be just like Harry and Thelma to pretend, so they could scorn me about it not working at all. Yeah. Harry, I'm going to give you a big kick to see whether you're really asleep or not. Ooh, not asleep. Well, I suppose there isn't much point in making them all do something. There's no one around to watch. Now, when I count three, you will all awake from your sleep. You will feel fresh and relaxed and be your normal selves again. Oh, hang on. I wonder if that's such a good idea. Oh, well. You will all wake up on the count of three. One, two, three. Wake up. Hey. Hey, wake up now. One, two, three. Wake up. Now, come on now. Stop messing about. Phyllis, Thelma, Harry, Percy, come on. This is your last chance or I'll make you do something terrible. Now, here we go. One, two, three. Wake up. Oh, dear. And that's the story, Doctor. They've been like this ever since.
I see.
The only change is that they've stopped snoring.
Well, thank goodness for that.
I don't know what else to do. I've even tried the kiss of life, but it doesn't seem to help.
Which one did you try it on?
Well, Phyllis, of course.
I see. Well, this is all a bit strange, Mr. Loder. I've never come across this in all my years as a clinical psychologist.
Well, I hope you can do something. Oh, I'm not too worried about the others, but I would like Phyllis back.
Well, we can but try. But tell me again what you did.
Well, all I did was I said, you will want to fall asleep just listening to my voice. It's a very drowsy voice, and you will want to fall asleep.
No, hey, don't you stop. No, wake up.
Yes. Where?
We were trying to wake them up.
Oh, yes. Well, Mr. Loder, what seems to have happened is that the monotonous tone of your voice has caused a severe foreshadowing of the subliminal urges.
Really?
Oh, yes. And this has resulted in Dick's pepsicar of the subconscious transmissions, which, as any idiot knows, forces the subject to experience intense somnambulatory migrations.
Yes, well, as you say, Doctor, any idiot knows that. What exactly does it mean?
They're asleep.
Oh. Well, I could have told you that, but what are we going to do about it?
I should recommend leaving the patients in the seeming state of suspended animation for a sufficient time lapse as necessary for them to recover from their intrinsic comatosia and regain once more a semi-natural or even natural retromorphic cycle.
And what does that mean?
Let them sleep until they wake up.
Yes, Elmer. Don't you feel better for it?
Well, yes, I suppose I do, but 4 days? Oh, I bet that's a new world record for non-stop sleeping.
Yeah, you great Nick. What about our work?
Well, the first 2 days were a weekend, Harry, so that didn't matter, and I managed to get them to give you the other two off as unpaid leave.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Harry. And you've got a lot to thank me for, too.
Aye?
Well, for one thing, you've all lost a good 10 pounds in weight, having nothing to eat for 4 days.
Yeah, yeah. That reminds me, I'm starving.
Well, you can buy me a meal, too. I'm broke.
Oh, why is that, Gerald?
Well, I had to pay that clinical psychiatrist chap a 20-pound consultation fee just for him to tell me that you were asleep. And to let you wake up by yourselves.
Oh. What happened? Percy, by the way.
Oh, he woke up a bit before you. The last I saw of him was a few minutes after he left, running down the street doing an impression of a man who hadn't been home for 4 days, being chased and beaten over the head with a rolling pin by his wife.
Oh, oh, poor Percy.
Poor Percy? What about poor me?
Eh? Why poor you?
Well, I won't be able to become a cabaret artiste now. There isn't much point in putting your entire audience to sleep for 4 days. Anyway, the psychiatrist said that I had such a monotonous voice. If I tried to do any more hypnotizing, it might be dangerous.
Oh, so what are you going to do now, dear?
Well, I'm still going to try the ventriloquism part, but I'm changing to the other course I could have had in the 2 for the price of 1 deal.
What was that again?
How to play a tuba in 10 easy lessons. Oh,
Calypso sound of Kingston, to Kuala Lumpur, across the other side of the world, to a desert state in the Kasbahs of Kuwait. New Sunports on the fun routes of Peter Stuyvesant, youngest of the world brand. Rich, choice tobaccos in king size. Peter Stuyvesant, so much more to enjoy.
Darling.
Yeah. Is that all?
But no, we've been burgled. Everything's gone.
Really?
And the burglars stole our car.
Anything else?
Yes. The dog bit the postman and he's suing us.
Fine. I'll call Standard Bank.
Standard Bank?
Well, the Standard Bank handles all our insurance, darling. We get instant cover and pay premiums monthly. Whatever happens, we're covered. What's that noise?
Darling, I think the house is on fire.
That was It's All in the Mind, featuring David Horner and Julian Lundberg as the Loaders, and Jim Williams and Valerie Miller Brown as the Dust, helped out tonight by Frank Gray. The script was written and directed by Brian Squires and produced by Tom Mill. Join Springbok Radio again next Monday at 9:30 for another look over the garden fence at our friends and neighbors.
Listen, I've got a noisy tappet in my new Mazda Rotary.
Mazda Rotary doesn't have tappets, sir.
Well, it's camshaft, then, or rockers, valves, con rods.
Mazda Rotary doesn't have any of those either, sir.
Mazda Rotary. Only 3 basic moving parts. No wonder we can guarantee the engine for 2 years or 40,000 kilometers.
Here's your problem, sir. Stone in your hubcap.